Hey, Trojan fans, it's time to get into the huddle with the Peristyle Podcast. The Peristyle Podcast is your weekly ticket to USC football and recruiting news. Don't forget, you can download the podcast 24/7 at our website, peristylepodcast.com. And now, here's the host of the Peristyle Podcast, USCFootball.com publisher, Ryan Abraham.
Hello, Trojan fans. Welcome to the Peristyle Podcast on a Thursday, Colorado week. And we have a very special guest for you today. We're talking with former USC All-American, of course, NFL defensive lineman Sean Cody's joining us on the podcast today. We want to talk about what's been going on with USC, what he sees. He's actually doing the pre- and post-game shows. If you listen on the radio, you can hear Sean giving his analysis on what's going on with the USC football team. So I thought we'd bring Sean Cody on today. Sean, what's going on, man? How you doing?
I'm doing great, Ryan. Thanks for having me on.
Hey, you know, no problem. Hey, what's your Twitter handle so people know? They can follow you.
It's at SeanCody95. I don't know my Instagram and Facebook. Come friend me up, man. I'm ready for some more friends.
Nice. SeanCody95. You played the NFL for what, 8 years?
Yeah, 8 years in the NFL, 4 in Detroit and 4 in Houston.
We were at practice yesterday. So Sean comes out because he does the pre and post game show. He'll come out at least once a week to practice. And I saw Tim Testalone introducing you to a group of suits out there, kind of, hey, this is what a football player looks like.
Yeah, you know, I get used up when I come down to practice. Tim's gonna put me in some awkward circumstances. No, but it was the people from Annenberg, the communications building. I'm looking at maybe advancing my education in communications. So those were the people there from Annenberg. So that was a big haughty toddy crowd that I was trying to impress.
Oh, nice. So you came back and finished your degree, right?
Yes. I got an undergraduate in sociology.
Okay, and then you were looking at a master's now. Is that the?
Yeah, that's what's going on. Trying to maybe think about doing a master's, trying to fit it in with a busy schedule and some kids running around too. And that,
three kids, busy schedule, covering USC, and then throwing a master's in there somewhere.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, hey, you know, you're doing good in the communication stuff, so it seemed like Tim was trying to push you in that direction, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah. Tim's been the catalyst behind my career here. He's the one who's called me up for doing the radio and giving me pointers here and there and recommendations. So Tim Testalone, he knows what he's doing, so I just follow along.
Okay. Well, hey, before we jump into talking about the team, I just wanted to let everyone know about our sponsor for the Peristyle Podcast, Dollar Shave Club. So great stuff. I'm a member now, and I really love it. I started using the Wanderer soap products in the shower, so it's not just shaving stuff. There's grooming products and stuff as well, so it's pretty cool. But you don't have to choose between price and quality when you want a great shave. And I said this on the last show. I'm not a big shaver. I know Sean Cody's not a big shaver either, but now that I have the Dollar Shave Club razors and stuff, I'm shaving more often. So I got the not the regular office job, so I don't have to be shaving all the time. You know, when I go to practice, it's okay to have some stubble, but I'm shaving more now with Dollar Shave Club, and they're going to give you the first month free if you because of the Peristyle Podcast here. So it's cool. So you just go and try the first month free, no obligation or anything like that. You know, there's different products you can get and delivered to you. So just go to dollarshaveclub.com/USC. They'll hook you up. But it's been a lot of fun to try it out and the different stuff that comes in. So definitely check it out, dollarshaveclub.com/USC. And like I said, you'll get your first month free. It might be hard to get through that beard of yours, Sean, if you know the first time.
But if there's one company to trust, it's Dollar Shave Club, man. If I one day shave this crazy looking stuff off my face, when I go out for a nice date or something with my wife, maybe I'll trim that neck up with a nice Dollar Shave Club razor there.
Nice. All right, so yeah, it's been working for me, so it's pretty cool. So dollarshaveclub.com/USC.
Yeah, you look a lot better at practice, Ryan.
Yeah. Well, yeah, you're getting practice at this, Sean. You know, doing the pre and post game show, you know, they added to your duties this year. You know, as a former athlete, a lot of people, you know, a former USC athlete, a lot of people kind of look to you for your expertise and stuff. Has it been challenging to kind of take over that role and be, you know, critical at times of, you know, guys that you were in that role yourself at one point?
Yeah, I think, you know, the hard part for me is, you know, analyzing players, because you always have, being a former player, you always have difficulties. I remember watching guys analyze, you know, our performance or my performance and thinking, you know, this guy doesn't know what my coaches are saying or what's going on in my meeting room and what they're telling me to do. And so that's the hard part, I think, as an analyst, is really, you really feel responsible for knowing what those players are doing and what their responsibilities are, and then analyzing from that, and not just, you know, listening to what other people are saying they should be doing, but really focusing on what the coaches are telling them and if they're performing their task. I think that's where, you know, some analysts can just go askew by just watching one play and analyzing it and saying, well, that guy did it wrong, but you might not know if that guy had the coverage or if it was his responsibility. So I take a lot of personal pride in trying to get that right and not, you know, throwing guys under the bus and on that level.
I mean, that's a really hard part of what we do. And, you know, at USC, things are much more open than some other programs. So we do get to watch practice and we can see kind of what they're working on. But you're still not, I mean, you might, you know, get some more just, you know, being a forward player and maybe get some more insider stuff. But what we can see, you know, we can see them working on practice, but we're not in the meetings. We're not sure what, you know, if they're calling plays just to highlight one aspect of the game or the other, or this is an offensive drill versus a defensive drill. I mean, we get to see a lot, but we still don't know everything that's going on. And certainly we know more than the TV guy who maybe only sees them for one time and just is analyzing that one play. But still, there's so much going on behind the scenes that we don't even know about.
Yeah, for sure. And I don't claim to know everything that's going on either. I'm sure some of my stuff probably sounds outlandish to some of the players and coaches when I say it. But I think as long as you do your due diligence in trying to know what they're trying to do, their concepts, what, you know, the responsibilities are, I think that's probably enough. And you can kind of guesstimate some of that stuff by just, and they're not going to tell you everything that's going on, even though I'm a former player and, you know, I try to find out what's happening. I'm still a part of the media and kept at arm's length distance.
Yeah. I mean, your, you know, former teammate is one of the coaches with Kenichi Udasi. Is that kind of weird? Like, if you're asking him like media questions, is he hesitant at all to talk to you about stuff, or how's that relationship?
Yeah, I've poked and prodded there, and I kind of find my happy ground where I can get some stuff from him, some information, and then I know where the lines I can't cross, and he's told me, hey, that's game plan stuff, man, we can't get in there. So he's pretty good at, you know, if you've done any interviews with Kenichi, he's pretty stern and straightforward on what he's going to talk about and what he's not going to talk about. So he definitely lays the line down.
Yeah, it's funny, like, for being coming up through, you know, the Pete Carroll era, where I think, to me personally, and, you know, it helps me do my job to have the openness that USC has, but, you know, for you guys to be able to be interviewed all the time, they've limited a little more now, but we can still talk to all the players every week. To me, it seems like USC players come out better ready, you know, for the NFL. As far as interviews go, they've done a lot of interviews. Or if you're someplace else where you're not allowed to ever talk to the media, that first time you do it at the pro day or whatever, it just seems like, you know, that you would just be a deer in the headlights. So it seems like it's helped. But it's funny, like, even though, you know, KU came up through that, he seems to be more of the Nick Saban, like, don't talk unless you absolutely have to right now.
Yeah, I think that's his. He's trying to make a statement and trying to display the kind of coach he's going to be and that hard nose just about ball kind of coach. And I think that's what he displays. Cause I know KU behind the scenes, he's a good family man. He's got a daughter and he's a good guy, but I think he's trying to display that image for, you know, for the media to say, hey, I'm a tough nose, hard nose ball coach. And this is what it's about. But to me, it's when I go to now and I see where the media is at, I remember walking around campus and seeing Scott Wolf or Gary Klein, Dan or whatever, and talking and doing interviews around. And it feels so much more closed off to the media than it used to be. It used to be a free for all. And I asked Tim about that. And I was like, Tim, what's going on here, man? We get our little box here and we got offense today or defense today. It used to be a free for all out there for media. But I do think to that point, it does train the USC football player. I remember going to the NFL and having guys who didn't really want to speak to the media or weren't comfortable speaking to the media. And I always felt, you know, more than comfortable just because of the exposure I think you have at USC.
Yeah, it's funny. It has changed a lot. And like, yeah, I think they've tried to, you know, once the sanctions hit, it started to get more restrictive, you know, splitting up where the recruits are versus where the parents are. And like Sean said, we're in this little box. which we used to be able to walk all the way around the field. And, it, you know, it's good. Like, when we take photos and video and stuff, we got a lot of cool different angles. It's a lot harder to do that now. You don't really be complaining and stuff, but it's, you know, it's definitely different than when you were there. We could still do our job. We still get to talk to everybody every week. It's just not as open as it used to be. I'm a little afraid that it's going to keep getting more closed off, and there'll be a point where, we're not going to practice at all. But, in L.A., it just seems like you have to have some sort of openness because there's so many other things going on. If you close practice, media will just turn their attention somewhere else.
Yeah, it's and the catchphrase is compliance. You know, that word gets thrown around a ton at USC. Oh, compliance issue. So that's I've learned that even coming back as a former player. There's still a line there between me and being around all the guys.
Would you I know for sure with the media stuff. And I know I've talked to former players that aren't doing like media stuff like you are. They just wanted to come back to practice. And I know at least a few years ago, there was times when they were turned off by it because they had to fill this stuff out it was like, hey man, I used to play here. I can't come watch practice. I don't know if they've eased that up a little bit now. It seems like it's eased somewhat, but there's still these procedures you got to go through.
Yeah. I think, personally, I think Clay Helton has done a tremendous job at bringing the former players back into the fold. With Pete, it was pretty much everybody who played come back and watch practice, and you know how those practices were. It was almost like a circus at some of those things. But Clay has done a great job of really reaching out to the former player base. And really, why wouldn't you? You know, you have such a great group of players that you can dig into. I know he's had Marcus Allen and Ronnie Lotz and Keyshawn Johnson, all these guys who, come back and talk. So it's, to me, it's like, why wouldn't you pull from that thing and not keep them at an arm's distance where, you had to sign stuff to get in there or whatever hoops they made you jump through. It was kind of ridiculous at some point. You didn't feel welcomed back as a player, but I think Clay's done a tremendous job and it's been a great move by him to really get the former players behind him and the team and reach out to them.
Yeah, I mean, that's a lot of the reason why, you guys are a lot of the reason why a lot of the recruits are there and want to be there. I mean, we still have people mentioning, recruits, more than 10 years later talking about Reggie Bush. And yeah. I don't know how much longer.
Well, what's funny, Ryan? I was doing an interview with Sam Darnold the other day, and I was like, hey, Sam, and I was trying to, introduce myself and say who I was. And he was like, hey, Sean, you don't have to tell me all this, man. I was a big fan of that era, man. I used to follow you, and that dude, my head almost exploded on the field there. I was so fired up that the starting quarterback, Sam Darnold, knew who Sean Cody was. And I felt that little bit of limelight come back into my life. And it was a shining moment in Sean Cody's day.
Well, that's great, Sean. We want you to have shining moments. You're a shining guy. We want you to have some fun. That's awesome. So, yeah, so Sam does seem, maybe we'll start with that. It seems like the team had, there's two different teams. There was the first three games, pre-Sam Darnold, and the next two post-Sam Darnold. He's about as Southern California as it gets, San Clemente guy. And even guys like Carson Palmer or Matt Leinart and stuff and Mark Sanchez, like, they were Southern California guys, but they were more buttoned up. They were more like and Sam just seems like he's out there. He'll talk about surfing or whatever. I mean, he's like the Utah game. Well, that sucked, It just seems like he's so he's just like a genuine Southern California guy. And the players, even though they voted Max Brown as a captain, they've seemed to really rally around, Sam now that he's the starter.
Yeah, I think you get that vibe from Sam. I don't, he hasn't been, it's almost like he's been untouched so far. It's like he's just pure Sam right now. And, you can get a little bit diluted as you go along in your USC process. And it'll be interesting to watch Sam's journey because he's so young, but it was it'll be interesting because he's had a couple of good games and we'll get to watch this unfold. I think if you see players like Carson or Liner, is that moxie build, is that quarterback performance build, they start to change a little bit as handling media and stuff. So it'll be interesting to see how we'll get to see right from Sam's beginning of his little journey here.
The first three games, you're doing the pregame show is fine. You can talk about whatever. But the postgame show, you're taking calls from angry USC fans. And, we do this on the podcast. It's not the live thing. We're taking voicemails. And I know after a loss, the inbox is full. The voicemail boxes are full. People want to complain. What's it been like for you handling that the first three games. And then the next two, even though the Utah game was a loss, it seemed like there was at least some positivity because people were excited about, you know, the emergence of Sam Darnold.
Yeah, it's, you know, I think we've, unfortunately, me and Chris Fisher, my partner there on the post game, we've kind of become experienced professionals in handling losses, which is, you know, kind of sad to say because we don't want to be losing football games, but we've you know, lost a few in these last couple of years and some really, you know, tough, heartbreaking losses that really, I think, affect the fan to down to their soul, because these people are, the fans who call in are devastated, man, and they want answers, and they want heads to roll, and they, you know, they're pointing fingers at everybody, and they're just looking for comfort, man. And me and Chris know that. To me personally, I really want to get down to X's and O's and why it happened and what's going on, so I always try to direct my attention to what's going on in the football field and less about, you know, talking about coaches and what's going to happen, you know, on that level. Cause my expertise really lies on the field, not, you know, hiring athletic directors or hiring coaches. That's not my expertise. I like to see the film, but you could definitely understand the fans' frustration in the first couple games. It wasn't going good. And it's unfair to point it at Max Brown to say, you know, this is his fault. There was a lot of things that I thought were going wrong on the team as far as offensive line play and play calling and a lot of that stuff. So it was unfair, I thought, to really mark Max as the culprit of that whole thing. Now has Sam come in and it really brought a spark? Yeah, I think Sam has done a great job. He looks energetic. He looks, you know, his decision making, I think, is spot on. It's quick. It's fast. Everything's moving a lot quicker. I think that's how the offense is kind of built in more of Sam's tempo of let's go, let's get on the ball, let's run this zone read, let's run this run pass option, let's, you know, do that kind of stuff. So, and he's really excelled, and I've been really, you know, pleasantly surprised by what Sam can do, not just with his legs. I think that's an asset, but his arm has been, the way he can, his quick hands and his release and the different throws he's already made, it's really been exceptional, and it'll be fun to watch him because I think he's still growing and he's still getting better.
Yeah, you know, it's funny that at USC, switching quarterbacks is very rare. It hasn't happened this century, you know, like midseason. Oh, we're going to switch guys. So it's not like something you can look back on. I mean, Pete Carroll, you know, John David Booty broke his finger and he didn't want to put an NFL quarterback, Mark Sanchez, in the game. You know, I mean, that's the kind of stuff that's been around USC. But, you know, now that it's happened, I agree with you. I don't think Max Brown was the big problem or any, you know, really. I mean, it seemed like the other stuff around him. Have you seen the play calling and stuff change now that Sam Darnold is in there? And do you think it's, I mean, people say, well, because he's more athletic, you can do different things. But it seems like it just changed, like more than that. It just seems like they've changed the way they're doing things with Sam Darnold in there as opposed to what Max Brown was doing.
Yeah, no, I just think it works a lot better with Sam. You know, with Max, he wasn't, you know, as fleet of foot as Sam. So when you're running these zone reads, it's, that other teams knew that Max wasn't going to ever take the ball or pull it and run. It was more of okay, the flow's going to go this way on the play, and the whole defense knows the running back's to one side. It can only come one way. And then with Sam coming there, you can run those same plays. And then when Sam pulls it once, then your defense has to automatically, as a defender, you have to automatically, you know, expect, you have to put somebody on Sam now. You have to account for what's going on with Sam Darnold. So I think that level brings a different element to the offense. And then I thought the running game is, you know, Justin Davis' emergence here the last few games has been really, something I think even Sam has benefited from. It's just his hard running, his work, his extra effort, I think, on every run play now has been astonishing. And I think once you get a Ronald Jones going, and now Juju's where Juju should be, he's getting the ball and making plays. So it's all coming together now, and it took him a couple of while, and it's unfair to Max because the offense just wasn't there yet when he was running the show, and that's unfortunate for him, and I wish him the best. But, you know, now it's Sam's. He's got it going now, and there's probably no turning back, and let's see where this thing can go.
You mentioned the offensive line a couple of times. It's been really strange because they've, you know, so many starters coming back, so, you know, eight or nine guys that have started, you know, return for USC. Guys are all four and five star, you know, recruits, people projected to go to the NFL, you know, Zach Banner's, you know, biggest guy in college football. It, you know, obviously it seems like they underperformed early. do you think that they've gotten better and it's getting, you know, it's getting better? I know it's hard to be five different offensive line coaches in 5 years or whatever it was, but have you seen them getting better? And you know, what problems did you see from that offensive line?
Yeah, to me, it was the expectations were through the roof. You know, we start out with an Alabama team with probably one of the best top five fronts in college football. So it's tough to when you set that bar so high. Oh, it's number one offensive line versus number one defensive line. Let's see who wins, and then we have the game we have. So that's difficult to judge them from. And then to me, it's been injuries. Losing a Toa Lobendon is a big crushing blow to, I think, a group that, center is usually the most essential player to getting communication to the offensive line. And then just getting a feel for how Neil Callaway and T. Martin, wanted to run that offensive scheme, wanted to run their blocking schemes. And I think they're getting used to what these offensive linemen can do well as a group. I think starting out the season, there was a little more splits to their offense, and there was a lot of space for these guys. And it's tough when you're a big guy and there's a lot of space between defensive linemen. And I think they've done a better job of, expecting what these offensive linemen can do, and not just running around and in space, but, putting them on guys and getting heavy on guys and really trying to move guys instead of asking them to do something that they're not comfortable doing. And I think they're getting better at it. Unfortunately, with Zach going down, he's been down, he might, miss this week too as well. So it's tough when those guys are rotating in and out. But I think Jordan and Chuma stepped up and did a good job. And Chris Bound has been working out there too. So it's, and Nico, you can't say enough about Nico for what he's done. And last year and this year coming in and kind of saving the day and holding down the fort. So it's a good group, and they're going to get better. I think, as the more games you play together, but it will be good to get some a good, they want to run the ball. Offensive linemen want to run the ball. I'd like to see them just pound the ball out one game and just get those guys happy and energized for the rest of the season.
On the other line, your former teammate, Kenichi Udeze, his first time, being a college football coach. I don't know. I mean, that's, you play, you do all these different things, but to go, he was a strength coach, to come in and try to coach these young guys. How do you think he's done so far, and how do you think the defensive line has played so far?
I think they've, helped Kenichi out. Being your first big time gig, your first defensive line coaching job to be at USC is obviously a huge thing, because it's not like walking into a high school and learning how to get your coaching, because I think Kenichi is a good coach, but you still have to get that experience, and that, that's why I think, Pete Jenkins is there to help out, and, he's in charge of that group, Kenichi, and they've gotten better since spring. If you went out there and watched them in spring, I thought, oh man, we're kind of in trouble here. It's going to be tough to be, beating people down in front with, this thin a line. But, at the addition of Stevie T and Josh Fatu, these guys, have been great additions to the line, and they've, added some depth. And I think you've seen kind of the group grow altogether. Rasheen Green, I thought, had his best game of the year last week. Josh Fatu is rushing a lot better. I think Stevie is playing the run excellent. He's a really great run defender. And so these guys have gotten a lot better. And so I think you can credit that to Coach Kenichi and the drills and if you watch him, he's got an enthusiasm about coaching. I know I've been asked about coaching, and I just don't see me doing it. I can't fire it up like he does every day, and he does a great job of really motivating those guys. And I think, if you see the players getting better, that's a credit to the coaching and what he's doing.
We'll keep you in the media, Sean. Well, how about that? We'll keep you on the
show. Yeah, no, for sure, man. I can't. Those guys got crazy hours, and not a lot of life expectancy at some of those spots.
I was watching the replay about the Pac-12 whole football game in 60 minutes. Pac-12 Network. I love that. That's awesome. So
yeah.
I didn't have Pac-12 Network before, but I got it now. So I'm
jealous. I'm jealous. I still don't have it.
Oh yeah. Well, I'm happy about it. I like it. But I was watching it through, and it seemed like, when Clancy Pendergast came in, and he was known for being a more aggressive, play caller on defense. I think it was Pro Football Focus that said that USC was, below average as far as blitz percentage on dropback play. I think it was like 31%. But in the Arizona State game, they bumped it up to about 50%. And it just seemed like there was a whole lot more activity going along the line of scrimmage. They were, confusing Manny Wilkins and eventually knocking him out of the game. They were stopping both, Balazs and Richard, like both, you know, great running backs for Arizona State. It just seemed like they were much more active at the line. I wanted to get your thoughts on how that USC defensive front or the whole defense played against Arizona State, and was it different than the kind of schemes you saw maybe in some of the other games?
Yeah, I thought it was a lot different. I think even Coach Helton mentioned how much more aggressive it was after the Utah game. I think Utah game you saw a defense that was kind of on its heels, you know, a defense, you know, for the most part of the second half on those three long drives in the second half, you know, you saw defense just rushing four, kind of trying to hoping to get there, not getting much pass rush, not winning many one-on-ones, not, you know, getting, not really any blitz type stuff, just kind of sitting on the lead and trying to hope that, you know, the offense could hang one more score and then they could walk out of there with a win. But so that, I think they learned a lesson from that game. And I think they had to, you know, really think about, hey, let's start dialing some stuff up to free up some stuff. Cause that not only does, I think, you know, you think if you blitz, you can't four man rush or you can't, win what your one-on-ones. That's why you have to blitz. I think the blitz as a player, you know, it helps everything. It opens up a lot of stuff for your one-on-one rush. When you put more things in the offensive lineman's head that he has to do, he's got to worry about blitzes. Oh, and then a one-on-one, one rush. And then, you know, so it just puts more thoughts in his head. And that's anytime you can get him thinking more, you can, as a defensive player, you can use that to your advantage. And I think bringing those blitzes just helps out your one-on-one rush. If you can bring a couple blitzes, and even if they don't go home, you put that thought in the offensive lineman's head that those could come, and it makes your one-on-one rush that much more easier because that offensive lineman is thinking about some other stuff. So I think they've done a good job. I think they did a great job last week. Clancy did a great job of really dialing up stuff at the right time and not, and you know, some of that stuff puts you in risk, but dialing them at the right time where there wasn't a lot of risk and we could still get home. And then you had some really successful one-on-one rushes for Machine Green and Uchenna and Chris Hawkins got home on a blitz. So it's some of that stuff was, I thought, you know, perfectly timed, and it comes down to a lot of the play calling stuff.
I know you got daddy duties to take care of, but one last thing for you, Sean, if you wouldn't mind, the Colorado game. This is a good Colorado team. I mean, I've had USC fans tweet me, does Colorado even have a chance? And like, they're ranked number 21. I mean, this is a really good team. What have you seen so far from them? And what is USC going to have to do better or do well to get another win here in the Coliseum?
Yeah, I think as a USC fan, you think Colorado. I mean, my first thought is 40-3 when we play in my sophomore year, and that's probably unfair to think that of Colorado. I think Coach McIntyre has really done a great job. I think last year, if you watch, you know, what they were able to do in some of the games, they were able to fight in and play hard in and just barely lose games. It reminds you of like a 2001 Pete Carroll team where they were just on the fringe of, you know, finding out, we were just on the fringe of finding out how good we were. And now they're in their second year there, they really picked it up and played Michigan tough, was up on them and really, you know, and you play stick to our schedule. I mean, just think about what was this, our fifth ranked team that we're playing, or fourth or fifth ranked team that we played this year. So it's been a tough schedule, and Colorado is a team that's, you know, well balanced on offense. They can throw it up top with Stevie, even after CO has been out. So they can do a lot of stuff on offense. They're balanced. They want to make that big play. They want to run that trick play and get a big score, but they can also run the ball for a ton. And then on defense, they're tough in the secondary, man. They got a really killer secondary. They can really shut down a lot of people. They've done, I don't know, they're really ranked high in defense. And so they can do a lot of stuff. They're well balanced, and Coach McIntyre just got those guys playing a really good ball right now.
Yeah, it's that team that you guys beat 40-3, they were ranked too, but you guys were like both, you know, 17 or 18 or something like that. But I don't think people realize like, oh, this USC team is going to be really, really good. Obviously, yeah. You were, but just outclassed that Colorado team.
I remember that game because, I mean, Colorado, Boulder is a really cool college town. I remember being like, man, and that Buffalo's running around over there. And so those guys aren't going to get to experience Ralphie, but it was quite a game. We had fun. I remember a dominating defensive performance, so it was, you know, a good time to be a Trojan. But yeah, I think this Colorado team this game is going to be exciting. I think we get favored every game, but it's going to be a good game, and fans should expect a good game and definitely not a blowout win.
Yeah, seeing Ralphie run around, that's an awesome environment for college football. So I'm glad, it's good to see Colorado back because, you know, they won a championship in the early 90 or whatever it was, and They've just been kind of bad lately, you know. So it's kind of nice.
I got recruited by Colorado, and it was one of the schools I was, you know, thinking about early on in the process, man. And now they fell off, and I'm thinking, like, what was I ever thinking about going to Colorado? But it's a great college town and a great football town, and they love football, and Ralphie running around, and Coach McIntyre's got them fired up, so I expect a good game from them.
You think about that. I mean, you were like the first big recruit for Pete Carroll, right? Like, I mean, this was like the. Pete Carroll wanted to keep the big players in Southern California home. I mean, who knows? I mean, maybe the whole, you know, national championship run doesn't even happen if you end up going to Colorado and not USC.
Maybe we just win national championships at Colorado, Ryan. I doubt it. There were some pretty good players at USC that probably would have some takes on that. But it worked out well for me. I love when people mentioned that, you know, I was like the starting recruit for Pete Carroll, but they failed to mention like Leinart and all these guys that were in my class, and they think it was something I magically did. But no, it was, you know, I was really fortunate. It always embarrasses me when Pete Carroll brings that up.
That's funny, yeah. Well, awesome. Hey, Sean Cody, follow him on Twitter at SeanCody95, and definitely pre and post game, if you're listening to the radio, you're driving into the Coliseum or driving home, especially the post game one, you want to listen to him, to Sean and Chris Fisher. Call in, tell them what you think. Tell them you heard of on the Peristyle podcast. But thanks, Sean. Hope you enjoy the games this weekend. Have a good pre- and post-game show.
Thanks, Ryan. And even if we win, I want the fans to call in, because sometimes they only call in when we lose. So we want them to call in when we win, too. But thanks a lot, Ryan. It was fun.
No problem, mate. That's Sean Cody. Check him out on Twitter, at SeanCody95. Thanks so much, Sean. And thank you guys all for tuning into the Peristyle podcast. And we will talk to you next time.